You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And on the line, we've got Justine Sachs, your friendly union representative, local activist, and all-round awesome person. How are you, Justine?
I'm good. Broadcasting from my garage, so having fun.
Love it. I love these DIY broadcasting setups that are going on at the moment. Hey, it's a real pleasure to have you on the line for this new segment, which we're starting off pretty casual this week, but we'll be kicking into gear with some glamorous stings and stuff next week. It's called Red Dead Redemption, and we're chatting about union things because it's a time, I think, when a lot of people might be looking for some support or turning to places where they can get some questions answered about their employment situations, because obviously this COVID-19 crisis has really affected a lot of that. Justine, to kick the ball off, what have you noticed popping up regularly? We're seeing lots of stuff, I guess, across Twitter and things. What are some issues that you've noticed people grappling with at the moment?
Gosh, it's just been like a torrent, really, of issues come out from this situation. But I think you can break it into a couple of categories. One would be just your work situation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people's work has been made precarious or unstable. A lot of people have lost their jobs. I'm not sure we're going to see like the full extent of those job losses until a little further on into the lockdown, mm-hmm. the economic recession that's coming. But that's certainly something. And you've also got health and safety issues, arising from these people who are working in these essential sectors. Mm-hmm. And just, making sure that they're safe, because employers are not always on the ball about this kind of stuff. I think those are the two big ones. I guess also wages as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of us, a lot of us would have noticed that a lot of people in essential jobs are the ones making the lowest wages.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We're seeing that especially in things like supermarkets, for example, where you've got people working in what is now actually quite a dangerous situation, potentially, and, not necessarily very highly paid jobs. I wanted to ask a few questions from things that people have been bringing up with us as well, Justine, if that's all right. We've had quite a few students get in touch who are worrying about what they should be doing because they're losing part-time jobs and they're now also sort of without schoolwork to do because a lot of universities are on like a hiatus period while they sort out how to do online teaching. Who are some good unions that students could be talking to at the moment about sort of dealing with some of those issues that are arising for them?
Okay, well, you've got your student union and then your industrial union. So it depends what sector you're in. If you've been working in the retail hospitality sector, your unions would be either ITU, mm-hmm. which is E-TU, and First Union. So those are the two big retail hospitality unions. PSA, the Public Services Association, they actually let students join for free. I would recommend that students should be members regardless, even if they're, after this time passes. I think mm-hmm. it's a good thing to be just a member of a union. There's perks as well, not that I'm going to list them off. you get some access to some specials. And, of course, you should be contacting your student union. I think the National Student Union, NZUSA, has been doing some good work about student well-being and just financial security during this time. So those are, I guess, the four main places that I would look to. In terms of losing losing income, I think it's really important that we follow up on why these employers aren't applying for the wage subsidy. And it's important that you follow up with your coworkers. You don't want to be the only person who's doing it. Something that we talk a lot about in the union movement is the strength that we have in numbers. That's where our power comes from. So if you have a workplace issue, if you suddenly lost your part-time income, get in contact with your coworkers, come up with a collective email, which you all name on, and take it to your manager, CC in their manager. I don't care, take it to the CEO. At this point, now's the time to kind of take those kind of risky moves. They're not necessarily risky, because especially if you're a member of a union, we'll be there to protect you. That's the kind of thing that I would be doing, because you need to know why that's happening. You deserve an answer.
Yeah.
Because because the stress that that puts on your life is just, it's just unbelievable.
Absolutely. That's a really great piece of advice, Justine. Another thing that we've noticed a lot popping up is that employers are suggesting to their employees that perhaps they work fewer hours or take a day less than they would normally working, or even being asked to take annual leave across this Rahui period. Are your employers allowed to ask you those things?
Really good question. So in normal circumstances, an employer can direct you to take annual or sick leave. The reason for that is if there's a legitimate business reason. So say, business is, you know, during like the Christmas period, mm-hmm. some work will shut down, and so you'll have no choice but to take leave. But during this period, what the advice we've been given is that employers should not be forcing people to use annual or sick leave. So this is an extraordinary period, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is not a time where you should be, your entitlement should be used up.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would recommend if that's happening is actually the Council of Trade Unions, which is basically all the organization that all most unions in New Zealand affiliate to. So that's the CTU. They have actually a place where you can log your issues for them to follow up on. And they're not going to do it immediately because like capacity is a bit stretched at the moment, but it's really important that we actually, you know, we hear about this stuff so we can follow up on it. So if you actually go on together.org.nz/COVID-19 work rights, you can log, if you're being forced to take annual leave or sick leave, you can log that and you can, and you know, you'd be asked to name the employer. Now we're not going to start trouble on your behalf, but we would want to talk, you know, we would want to follow up on that at a later date. I would say if that's happening again, like you have to use strategies to try and, organize, but you know, and sort of resist that kind of thing. So again, I would want to know why your employer is not accessing the wage subsidy. I certainly would not. I would not allow that. I would again band together with my coworkers and say no. I would say no. I don't want to use my entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
And I would become a member of the union. And some unions, you know, some generally the rule is that you can't join a union to get help on an issue that's already ongoing. And the reason for that is we want to kind of encourage proactive unionism, not kind of like, oh, I have an issue, I'm now a member.
Yeah.
But in times like this, let's make an exception. Join the union, say, look, sorry, man.
As you were saying, it is very much an exceptional time. Hey, the last question I wanted to put to you this morning, and of course we will be talking to you again next week, so if people do have more questions, they can send them through, is going back to that essential worker frontline situation at the moment, particularly with spaces like supermarkets. That is quite an exposed spot for health-wise situations at the moment. What kind of protective measures should people in those essential services be expecting from their employers, and what could they be doing if they feel there is a bit of a failure to protect them in terms of their health in those essential services?
Okay, that's a really good question, and I don't think it's gotten enough attention at all. So there's like, in terms of what they can expect, I think it's time to raise our expectations, because we know that the virus can live on services. And so we know that these jobs, you know, like workers are at risk. That's not to say that they're going to get it. So I'm not scaremongering or anything like that, but there needs to be protective measures put in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there needs to be personal protective equipment given to workers. If that's not happening, it needs to happen ASAP. I also would say like it's an issue of mental health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary. Some people might feel, you know, more able to do their, like not able to do their job unless they have it. So it's not just a matter of whether it's literally necessary to, you know, protect them physically, but also their well-being, because they're the ones on the front line. So I would say that. So raise expectations. I would say, what do you need? I would ask workers first and foremost, what do you feel that you need? Like, so what do they need scientifically? I would say they need gloves. They need masks, at the very least. And then in terms of what they can do, and I also think there needs to be stringent hygiene measures in these spaces to make sure that it's being sanitized regularly. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I would do is, if you feel that this is not happening, and I unfortunately can almost guarantee that there are places where this isn't happening, I would make sure I know who my health and safety rep is. So health and safety reps are amazing. They have so much power legally. If you don't know who your health and safety rep is, just know it's not good enough. Find him. Sorry.
not to preemptively assume who they are, and make them understand that they need to play a very active role here.
Yeah.
So they actually can, they can raise the issue. They can give the employer a PIN, what we call a PIN in the business. It's called a provisional improvement notice, and that's filed with WorkSafe, and so that's filed with the government, and they have a certain amount of time to fix the safety issue. The other thing is, if you follow that process, health and safety is one of the few reasons that workers in New Zealand have the right to withdraw their labour. So if you're working in an unsafe situation, you have the right to say, no, not going in, I'm not going to do it. So that's your right. And so know the health and safety rib, know what those, that process is for highlighting an issue. And if nothing is done about it, know that you have the right to actually walk off. And the other thing is, I would say, is that I think these workers deserve hazard pay. I think they do. I mean, not only do I think they need like 100% wage increases, but you know, they need, they deserve hazard pay as well, because they really are risk. They're our soldiers.
They are at the front line. Absolutely. Hey, Justine, this has been so helpful. Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to chat to you this morning, and we're looking forward to chatting to you again this time next week. So if people want to put a union-related question to you, they can text it through to 5395, or you can call us on 309 3879 anytime during the week. We'll collate all of your questions, and then we will put them to you on air next week, Justine. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Fantastic. Lots of great texts rolling in as well. Someone says, fascinating shit. Thanks, BFM. You're welcome. Thank you, Justine. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm the same. Labour law is the most fascinating shit. Cheers.
Cheers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.